teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberly. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
You know, a number of, well, I don't know when I started hearing it. I guess it's a newer term, maybe. Maybe the fact that it's new to me calls me out of touch, but whatever. I've been hearing this term, I guess in the last few years, life hacks. You ever heard of a life hack? Anybody ever heard of a life hack? Let me just so I know where to start here. How many have never heard the term life hack? H-A-C-K, hack, life hack. It's fine if you have it. I'm just asking so I know where to start. I started hearing that term, a couple years ago, and I'm like, what are they talking about? Hack, like hacking into a computer. What are they talking about? And so I never paid much attention to it. And so I didn't really get in my heart. I didn't know last night what I was going to preach on. So I just said, if I get it in the pulpit, that's fine with me. I've gotten to that place, So fine or whatever. But I got up this morning and I was praying, and that term came up. Strange. Life hacks. Life hacks. So I said, I got to know what those are. So I looked it up. You want to hear the definition of what a life hack is? Somebody said, "Is this a preach? Are you going to preach the word, or are you going to preach?" Yeah, I'm going to preach the word. So, but listen to this. This is the definition of a life hack. It means an unusually clever tool or technique for accomplishing some familiar everyday task more easily and efficiently. It makes life easier, enables you to accomplish something with less time and with less effort. And let me give you some examples, sort of like let's say I looked it up. There's whole websites now that are dedicated to just telling you how to do something easier or how to fix something that, you're out in the wilderness, your flashlight goes dead, or you find out one of the two batteries is dead. Like, here's one I saw. You have a dead battery. One of them's still good, but you need two batteries to keep the flashlight going. Yep. You can roll up tinfoil like a battery and stick it in there, and it'll apparently make... Now, who knows if this works? How many of you know who knows if this works? But apparently, it'll make the flashlight work. Okay, I see some people shaking their heads. So it makes it easy, whenever you don't have a battery. It's a fix for that situation. Rather redneck fix, but it's a fix. Amen. And so that's a life hack, how to do something that would otherwise be difficult. Here you could keep the flashlight going, and otherwise you can't keep it going. And so they got all kinds of things like that. Like one of them I saw was, here in Iowa, I think, maybe other places in the country, our water, at least where we are, our water's hard. It's got a lot of minerals in it and so forth. So you can see it coating up, building up on your faucet in your kitchen or your shower head or something. And you can get out a wire brush and... ruin your shower head. Or they've got certain things that you just take your shower head off, dip it in there. I don't even remember what it was. Anybody know what it is? Vinegar. And it'll just dissolve that, and without all the hard work, it makes it easy. That's called a life hack. You can make something easier. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's whole areas on websites I looked up. I'm not preaching websites. I'm preaching the Bible this morning. But I wanted you to just hear about some of these. Like, for example, how many of you have been to the airport and, you're always looking for your bag? That's mine. No, wait a minute. That's not mine. But other people just stand there almost holding a conversation like this, and they see theirs. Oh, there it is. And you're like, what'd you do? And then you notice they got a pink ribbon on theirs, That's called a life hack. Just things that makes it simpler.
Yeah, that's right.
And you can find life hacks in all kinds of areas. Let me tell you some. You can find life hacks for all kinds of life hacks for odors, fixing odors. You can find life hacks for things like, here's one, how to waterproof your shoes by spraying certain stuff on it. All kinds of life hacks for ironing, how to iron. Hello. how to drive thing. It's crazy. It's all kinds of stuff. You can go on websites and find all kind of. I'm like, Lord, this is coming up in my heart. What are you talking to me about? And he gave me a sermon at 7:30 this morning, and I had to run real quick. And so I don't know if it's going to be a series or not, but it will be this morning. This is going to be life hacks for seasons of trouble. Amen. You know, anybody ever going through a season of trouble, test or a trial? God's got life hacks for it. He's got ways of hacking it. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things so many spiritual things that my wife brings into my life, but one of the natural things she brought into my life, I'm so thankful for, is just knowledge about nutrition. There's a lot of things that if you just get a little knowledge, you can be effective at whatever you wanted, you know, more strength, more stamina, whatever, losing weight or things like that. I don't know where I'd be physically. You know I got faith in the power of God, but, you know, there's some natural side to some of this too. And if she hadn't have taught me a lot of things, just like take, for example, just a simple balance between carbs and protein and which one you need when. You know, in the morning, a lot of times you feel lethargic just because you don't get enough protein. It's all carbs or something, you know. Simple little things like that. Sometimes people, they struggle to lose weight, and it's not because of necessarily a diet. It's because of a thyroid imbalance. Just simple little things. Once you get the little simple little answer, boom, stuff starts working. You know? There's just all sorts of things, just little nuggets of wisdom in every area of life. But how many of you know God's got the ultimate life hacks when it comes to tests and trials or going through tests and trials? I don't believe life is supposed to be hard. If you want to believe that, go for it. But I'm going to believe Jesus. Because he said over there in Matthew 11, verses 28 through, 32 or 30, I guess it is. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, he talks about, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Somebody said, it's just so hard to serve God. Well, you just lied against the Bible. The Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. If it's hard, you're not doing it right. I said, if it's hard, you're not doing it right. Let me say that again, just in case you didn't hear it. If it's hard, I want you to get that down in your spirit. If it's hard, you're not doing it right. Someone said, are you saying that really I can have a life that doesn't have any tests and trials? That's not what I said. The Bible says that faith doesn't, the Bible makes it plain, faith does not mean we don't have tests and trials. It does not mean that at all. Faith means, because remember, let's just take a couple of verses before we get into that. Remember, Jesus said, I think it's in Matthew 16:33, he said, in this world, he said, you will have tribulation. If faith means that we don't have any tests or trials, then Jesus shouldn't have said that. But he did. He said, in this world, you and I will have tribulation. It's not a lack of faith to have a trial, to go through a test or a trial. You're not doing something wrong because you encounter tests and trials. Remember James 1, count it all joy. Notice what he didn't say. Count it all joy if you encounter a test and trial. He didn't say if. He said count it all joy when. You're going to encounter tests and trials. Come on. Oh, no, Pastor, don't say that over me. I'm a faith man. Get real. In your faith, get real. I'm not inviting them. I don't like them. I don't enjoy them. You don't enjoy them. What's that word for people that enjoy pain? You know? Huh? However he said that. It's whatever he said. I'm not one of those. I don't like pain. I don't like hurting. I don't like heaviness. I don't like, you know, sorrow. I don't like any of those. I don't like when that's coming against me. But that doesn't mean I don't have those tests. Those things come against me. Do they come against anyone here? Yeah. You know, it's amazing. Half the church raised their hand. It comes against all of us, doesn't it? Comes against all of us. All of us have tests and trials. That does not mean you don't have faith. In fact, that might be why it came. It might just have come because you are a person of faith. You remember what it says in Mark 4, where it talks about the parable of the sower. He said, these things come for the word's sake. When you start getting a hold of the word, things attack you in order to try to strip you of the word you're believing. They attack you for different reasons. We'll get into some things as we go. So don't think I must be doing something wrong because I have tests and trials. No, faith doesn't mean you don't have tests and trials. Faith just means, but you can get God's hacks. You know what I mean? To get through it without it being as hard as it used to be. The hardest test and trial of my season, remember Jesus over in Luke 4, he was tempted in the wilderness before he went into the ministry for 40 days, and we have record of three of his temptations, you know, cast yourself off the pinnacle, you know, turn the stone into bread and all those things. But Jesus kept answering the things that Satan was saying, and he kept saying, it is written, and he kept winning the battle. He kept throwing down the trump card, so to speak, the word of God, and answering it. And finally, the Bible said at the end of that, Satan left him for a season. Here's something you need to understand. There are seasons in life. We've preached this before. You've heard this before, but I just had a prompting to preach on it some more. There are seasons. You're going to go through times of testing and trial. Sometimes it's because you're getting ready to be increased. And the devil knows that. And he's trying to strip you of your faith. He's trying to get you to quit. Amen. There's different reasons, but I'm not here to go into all that this morning. But the thing I'm saying is the Bible said Satan left Jesus for a season. There will be seasons where Satan practices the pile-up tactic. Someone said, thank God I'm not in one now, so I guess I don't need this sermon. Honey, if you're not in one now, I rejoice with you, but get ready, one's coming. Pastor, don't speak that over me. I'm not. It's just the Bible actually said so. How about Psalm 34:19? Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You know, a lot of people stop there and they get out their hanky and cry. It didn't stop there. But I'm stopping there right now to make a point. You're going to go through some things. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have tribulation. That's Matthew 6, 16. Am I right about verse 33 there, I believe? John 16, 33. In this world, you'll have tribulation. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not going to get out of this without tests and trials. I'm not trying to make everybody depressed. I'm trying to get you into reality. There's not something wrong with you because these things come. How about 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 13? 1 Corinthians 10:13 talks about, you know, God is faithful. He'll make a way of escape. There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. The word temptation there, I think you know that. It means test or trial. There's nothing. There's no test or trial that's come against you that's not common to man. In other words, it's not a rare thing to go through a test and trial. There's all kinds of tests and trials. There's you know, financial tests and trials. There's relationship tests and trials. There's pressure that comes against you through, you know, pressure, you know, financially. Like I said, there can be a physical test or trial. All of them come with mental attacks where the devil bombards your mind. And there's attacks against, there's a season sometimes you go through where there's attacks against your mind. Sometimes it's an attack to get you to quit, to back out of, you know, whatever, helps ministry or being faithful to church or, you know, don't bring your tithe because you don't have the money or whatever. These things shouldn't work so often because the Bible said we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. But to think that they're not going to come because we're faith people, that's what I just got stuck on here for a minute, is wrong thinking. You're not doing something wrong because it came. However, you can get through it quicker if you'll practice God's test and trial hacks. He's got some hacks for those things where it's not so hard. I started saying back in 1999 through the year 2002, 3 years right before we came here, I went through the biggest season of attack in my life up until that point. And there's several things I could tell you about it, but for one thing, I'll say this. When I got to the other side of it, the Lord spoke to me, and whenever that thing lifted, because it's just like the clouds cleared up, and it was like it all left. But that thing had been coming against me for 3 years. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're not paying attention to the spirit realm. But it was mostly in the spirit realm, trying to manifest in different areas of our lives. But whenever it all lifted, the Spirit of God, and it was like a new day. It was like beautiful again. You know, every day wasn't, you know, just a press in faith just to keep my sanity. Listen, there's some folks in here going through some things. And God's out of his compassion. He's wanting to help us all here this morning. But just to keep my sanity, some nights I'd have to pray in tongues or then speak in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs because of all the pressure coming against me. Well, that went on for 3 years. And whenever it all left, when I got through it and passed that test, tell your neighbor you got to pass the test. In other words, I didn't quit.
Yeah.
I didn't give up in all the areas of the pressure, you know.
Yeah.
I got through the other side, and there was a big enlargement in every area of life. See, that's what he was trying to keep us out of. An enlargement of spiritual favor, spiritual revelation, enlargement of finances, enlargement of strength in my body, in our marriage, in every area, a big enlargement. We lurched forward. But see, he was trying to get us to quit. But anyway, after that all, we got past all that, the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, all that heaviness and oppression for 3 years? Because you kind of got used to it, and began to wonder, is this going to be the way the rest of my life is going to be? Just like cloudy all day, all the time.
Come on.
You ever been here in the winter? I know you're here in the winter now, but Well, that's the way it was spiritually for 3 years. I kept the joy. I'd get in the spirit and get it off of me. But I'd wake up in the morning, boom, there it is again. You know what I'm talking about? And after 3 years and that thing all lifted, and the Lord said, see, there, none of that was me. None of that was me. And I realized, and I wept, and I thought, that was completely and entirely an attack of the enemy, and it was not anything to do with God removing anything from me or, you know, like all the world thinks, you know, all that stuff. He said, none of that was me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, but anyway, I got through that. Pastor Debbie and I got through that. And As the years progressed, I started realizing some things, primarily from Jesus in the wilderness, how he passed that test. I started realizing some things that I know it didn't have to be that long, and it didn't have to be that hard. I didn't say I didn't have to go through that. Because God didn't put me through it. Somebody said, well, are you saying God? No, God didn't have a thing in the world to do it. That's what he said. Not any of that was me.
Yeah. Right.
That was all Satan attacking you.
Right.
When I got through it, I realized none of it was God. I realized, though, if I'm going to get to my enlargement, I've got to go through some beehives of demonic activity sometimes. Because you can see where the plan of God is. You start walking through the door, and God says, come on, I got greater things for you. And the devil says, yeah, you're going to have to get through me to get to it. Yeah, and so we say, well, okay, we'll accommodate you. We're going to tread you down. We're going to tread you down. But he'll oppose. I'm not trying to glorify the devil this morning. I'm just trying to get some of you to the realization I'm not doing something wrong. I think sometimes we've got to acknowledge that these things come and not make people feel like they're a spiritual misfit. You know what I'm talking about? Because they got attacks come against them. Listen, some of you, it started the moment you started being faithful to this church. You got to know his devices. You know, the devil's not too opposed to you going to some dead place. You don't ever learn anything. You don't learn any life hacks. you know, flowery speeches and feel-good stuff for 20 minutes. But he's going to fight you getting the word. We don't take that as a victim mentality. Like, no, we're more than conquerors. But when I got through that, whenever back there in 1999 through 2002, when I got through that, of course, the Lord said that none of that was me. And I realized, oh, my goodness, you know, I was beginning to wonder what's wrong, you know. And I realized it was all the enemy just opposing me, getting into that enlargement. And then second of all, as I grew spiritually, I started realizing, wait a minute, I'm learning better how to pass tests, how to get to the other side of things. And it didn't have to be as hard as it was, and it didn't have to be as long. See, I'm telling on me, but it's true about all of us. Because how many of you are going to be more spiritually grown at the end of this year than you were last year? Yeah, and guess what that's going to mean? That's going to mean you're better at practicing the word and passing tests and getting to the other side. Yeah, yeah. Hello. We had to learn how to be married. Pastor Debbie and I had to learn how to be married. I'll tell you, things are so much better than they used to be. I appreciate my wife, you know, straightening me out with Jesus' help. But my point is, it used to be, you know, a difference between us would take a week to get over it, you know. Now we've learned how to get right through it without all the fussing. I said without all the fussing. Hallelujah. Wow, we got some hacks. We found some hacks in the Word. We didn't find it on a hack website. We found it in the Word. It's called walking in love.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And man, I'll tell you, that's a constant challenge. Yeah. You can read 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through or 4 through 8 from now till Jesus comes and constantly get convicted the whole time between. Dear Jesus. But that's the hack. Tell your neighbor that's the hack. You know, if the devil is writing a script or writing a program that you don't want in your life, hack it. Hack it. You know how they get into computers and hack people, not me, but people get into computers and try to hack the computer. They put something in there to make your computer not work, and you got to pay them money to get all your files back or something like that. Well, if the devil's putting something in your life that's making things not work in life, hack his hack.
Hack his hack. That's right.
Hack his hack.
That's right.
In our government now, that's one of the means of our warfare now. China's hacking into us, our stuff, we're hacking into theirs. They're spying on us, we're spying on them. We don't tell each other, but we all know it. Isn't that right?
Yeah, come on.
Praise the Lord. It's said, I don't know if it's true or not, but Iran had those centrifuges over there cranking out, you know, uranium, nuclear material, you know, for building bombs. They say not. We know they're all lying about it. Finally got a president that believes they're lying about it. But anyway, they say their centrifuges kept shutting down, and the reason was because we hacked them. I like that. I like that. When the devil's trying to write a script to mess up your life, hack it.
Hack it. That's right. Amen.
Hack it. It sure beats shooting the missile out of the air that's about to blow up right over America. Just hack their computers and hack their centrifuges over there. That's the way you and I need to do the devil. But I just got to get this out of my spirit here about, you know, one of the things we got to get past is thinking, well, something's wrong with me because I'm going through tests and trials. No, that doesn't mean something's wrong with you. Tell your neighbor, that doesn't mean something's wrong with you. God gave you His Word and the Holy Ghost to make you brilliant in getting through tests and trials. You're going to have them, but you can get through them more skillfully than you used to get through them. And that's what I want to talk about. If I want to learn how to do some things more skillfully. Do you want to learn how to do some things more skillfully? You know, Pastor Nancy, I think we're getting it in the bookstore or soon have it. I don't know. Michelle knows. She just came out with a book called The Victory Over Grief and Sorrows. Well, I thought about that whenever I saw the book advertised that it was out. I thought, oh, man, she knew how she demonstrated when the devil wrote a script for her life to bring something into her life. You know, like Dr. Frank going to heaven early. She hacked that thing. She could have had oppression, depression, and sorrow and all of that for a long time. But she hacked into it and got through that thing real quick. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many of you want to become skillful at these things? Hallelujah. You can make life work for you so easily that other people don't even think you're for real. I'm not going to repeat it, but I know of some things some ministers said regarding Pastor Nancy that she was in denial that Dr. Dufresne had gone to heaven or it wasn't real or she was putting all that on. No, I've been around her. It was real. It was real. I said, it was real. It is real. But because she's skillful in practicing the word, people think you can't live that way. That's just fake. That's some fake something. You're just putting that on. No, it's real. You can be so successful at practicing the word that people think that there's just something wrong with you. You just don't have enough sense to know that the devil brought a test or a trial to your life. Oh, we know it, honey. Believe me, we know it. We just hacked it. You just hold on. The anointing's about to fall. Hallelujah. I don't believe life is supposed to be difficult. I didn't say that we don't go through tests and trials. I just believe that we can become skillful with them and you know, neutralize them. Hack them. Tell your neighbor he's preaching good now. You ought to say amen. What makes it difficult is doing the wrong thing in the test and the trial. Hello? Praise God. So like I said, if it's hard, you're doing it the wrong way. Now listen, I've done it the wrong way. That's not a condemnation when I say that. We just have to realize. You know, why do some people's lives just always look like they've been rode hard and put away wet all the time? Always crisis, always something bad. They're just not good at practicing the word. That's the issue. That's not a slam. It's just we got to come to the realization that the word has answers. Answers that work. I said that work. You know, some people are just testing trials. Charlie, you know, you always meet them and that's all they ever are. They're just testing trials. And they act like, well, it's not fair. My life is so much harder than everybody else's. No, you're just not good at practicing the word. You just don't know how to hack it. You're falling prey to the test and trial. You're doing the wrong thing. Tell your neighbor now that I know it's getting tight, but it's getting right. Amen. So when I got through that phase in 1999 through 2002, when I got through that phase, I realized that that didn't have to be that hard. Yeah. One of the big things in my situation was God was trying to talk to me about pastoring, and I didn't want to listen to it. Yeah. So it got hard. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, the way of the transgressor is hard.
The way of the transgressor is hard.
I could have just said, okay, Lord, that'll be fine. Yeah. And gotten through it a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Yeah.
Tell your neighbor, he wasn't talking about you, he's talking about himself.
He's talking about himself.
Praise the Lord. But tell your other neighbor, he might have been talking about you too, though. Who knows? Or at least somebody behind us, he's talking about them, you know. Anybody getting what I'm saying this morning? I realized later, it's like I resisted pastoring for all those years, and it got so hard and so hard. Finally, I give up. God said, finally, that's where I wanted you to be. Give up. Give up your way. Give up hardness. Resisting the Holy Ghost makes things hard. Well, somebody say yes, oh my, like Miss Maya just said, yes, oh my. Say amen or oh me, whichever one fits. But let's get through these things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many of you know whenever you have spent, you know, years scrubbing hard on the bathtub to get all those stains off, and somebody comes along with a cleaner that you just go squirt, squirt, and you wait for a minute and you take a towel, whoosh. You know what you're going to say from then on? It ain't going to be as hard from now on. It's not going to be as hard. I'm going to use scrubbing bubbles or whatever. You know, I'm going to... Hack it. Tell your neighbor to hack it. Your first thought, when somebody shows you a life hack, your first thought ought to be, it's not going to be hard anymore. And when you hear, cast all your care on the Lord, you ought to say, a life hack, it's not going to be, I'm not going to carry the cares of life anymore. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm having a good time this morning. It doesn't mean, faith doesn't mean you won't have tests and trials, but the better you're good at practicing the word, exercising your faith, that the easier this is going to be. Hallelujah. Tests and trials don't, for us, they're not to be a stopping place. We go through the valley of the shadow of death. Tell your neighbor, it's through. Go like this and say through. Go on through. You and I are supposed to go through. We don't stay there and camp. We go through. We're to go through them. And we can get better at going, come on, help me out. We can get better at going on through them. Hey, get some skis on and just ski your way right on through it. Praise God. Don't make it a stopping place. Faith just means your tests and trials that do come don't do to us what they did to everybody else. Because we got the hack for it. Amen. They don't make us stop. They don't scar us. They don't mold us into Satan's image. Amen. It means we always overcome because we're more than conquerors. So, hallelujah. Now, every trial has a way of escape. That's what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says. That let's go over there. I think it's good. We need to look at this morning. God is trying to help all of us. Tell your neighbor, he's helping me. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is a verse that there's a lot of religion around this verse. People quote it and say it wrong. But look at what it actually says. There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. That means tests and trials are common. They're not rare. Don't think some strange thing. 1 Peter 4:12. It talks about, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you. Don't think it's strange. Oh, I don't know why this happened to me. You want us to give you a list? Don't speak that stupidness. Oh, why me? Why me? Well, why not you? You want to do the right thing. You want to serve Jesus. You're pressing into the greater plan of God for your life. So you, yeah, they're the one. Praise the Lord. That went over like a lead balloon, too. Did you feel that? Praise the Lord. So here he said, no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Everybody goes through it. Just because you're talking about it all the time and everybody knows that you're going through it doesn't mean nobody else is going through it. It's just that they don't talk about it and you blab it all the time. There's a time to talk with people about it. You understand? Because some people can help us. We need to want to help one another. But my point is just somebody that you don't even want to shake their hand and say, how you doing? You always shake their hand and say, hi, praise the Lord, and you move on. Because if you ask them how they're doing, they're going to tell you how they're doing. And you're really not wanting it right now. because you just learned about them. Tell your neighbor, I don't know who he's preaching to this morning. Praise the Lord. So, but he said, no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Oh, I like that part. But God is faithful, isn't he? I mean, hasn't he gotten you where you are now? Hasn't he been faithful to get you through everything in the past? Everything that came up, he got you through it. Maybe it took 13 years, but he got you through it.
Got him through it.
After that 13 years, you ought to say, next time it ain't going to take so long. I'm going to be better at practicing the word. I'm going to be better. Now, here's one of life's hacks, James 1. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter tests and trials. That's a life hack. That's a test and trial hack. Boy, that just takes the energy out of the devil's test and trial. He's got it all moving, and it's working, and it's all like an old machine coming against you, working, moving, and you go, ha, ha, ha. Here's what it does. It pulls the cables off the battery of that thing and just shoo. It just doesn't work. It's a trial hack. Praise the Lord. So he said here, no temptation taking you such as is common to man, but God is faithful. He has always been faithful to you. He's always been faithful to me. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you, that means allow you, to be tempted above that you're able. Notice that it doesn't say he will not put more on you than you can handle. That's how people quote that. That is not what he said. There's a difference between allow and put on. God's not putting tests and trials on you. He is on your side. If God be for us, who can be against us? He's on our side. He's not against us. He's for us. But the one who is against us, if God's for us, who cares about him? If God is for us, the test and trial, who cares? But here he is saying, he'll not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Do you realize if it's in your life, you can take it? Or it wouldn't be there. Tell your neighbor, it wouldn't be there if you can't take it down. That's what that verse says. That's what that verse says. It wouldn't be there. Why? Because if it was more than you could handle, God would say, Satan, you can't do that to them. That's what he's saying. So if it's in your life, guess what? You can whoop it. You can hack it. You can get past it. You can get to the other side of it. You can do it. That's good news to me. That tells me what that first part of that verse means when he said God is faithful. In other words, he's protecting us from things that would take us out. He's faithful to me. Tell your neighbor he's faithful to you. He's faithful to you. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The Amplified says strength to resist it. So God's saying when these things come, right there at the same time, he said God makes a way of escape. Not later. He said with that. In other words, when the devil brings that test or trial, right there's God saying, he brought that. Here's the way of escape. In other words, here it is right now. Right now. In other words, here's the way to get through this right now. Right now might not be a minute, but it might be just a short, a few days or something, get to the other side of it. Ha, ha, ha. I said, ha, ha, ha. There is a way of escape of every test and trial. In other words, there is a hack for it. Are you getting that? So, praise the Lord. If faith means you don't have tests and trials, then all the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 didn't have any faith. But no, they did. See, it didn't mean the trial didn't come. I can't get past that this morning. I'm just camped on that. It came, didn't it? some things, horrific things came. That's what Hebrews 11 is all about. Their faith faced opposition and conquered it every single time. See, that's what your faith is for. It's not to keep things from coming. Your faith is to whoop it. That's what it's for. Your faith is to whoop it. Your faith is to hack it every single time. It's for winning. Amen. But if we do the wrong thing, it's going to, I mean, the test and trial will conquer us. And but God was basically saying, you had what it took, you just didn't do what it took. That's what that verse in 1 Corinthians is saying. He'll see how much, you know, remember whenever Satan attacked Job, Job actually opened the door to some things. But God was still there saying, you can only go so far. Wasn't that right? Isn't that right? God knew where Job was. Now, if Job didn't use what he knew and do what he knew he should and could, then Satan could conquer him. But he had what it took. Every time something comes, you have what it takes. That's good news. That's the faithfulness of God to me. But we have to do the right thing. Tell your neighbor, we're learning to do the right thing. And I believe we can have our name can be entered into Hebrews 11. We get to heaven, we find out God kept making the list. And he got down to 2018, and he said, and in 2018, Brian Kirk hacked this test and trial. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm liking these kinds of sermons. I need to come not as prepared more often. Hallelujah. Now, why would you think it's strange? Remember over there, I gave you that verse, 1 Peter 4:12. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is tried. Why would you think it's strange? Only if you don't know the word. Because the Bible said it's the word that gives us the knowledge of Satan's devices. Praise the Lord. You know, you might have been separated from, you know, a divine connection of some kind in your life. And then because of whatever, you know, wrong thinking, offense or something like that. And then you got a hold of yourself and you got back where you belong. You know, I've done that. Somebody said, well, you're just talking about. No, I've done that in life. I've made that mistake. But guess what? I'm not making it again. I'm not making it again. But what am I saying? I'm simply saying that we ought to learn from the Satan. When he brings things, he runs the risk of us practicing the word and turning it on his head every single time. But he seems willing to keep pushing those certain buttons in our life because too often it works. But we ought to learn to turn it on him and make him eat it. And use the test and trial to learn some things. I didn't say God brought it to teach us something. You got to understand the way I said that. He doesn't bring those things to teach us things, but we can use it to practice and get better at hacking tests and trials than we have ever been. Whenever something happens in our life that grates on our flesh, maybe somebody close to us does something that just irritates us, and we want to get all fussy about it again and so forth, and we go, no, I've been there before. I got to hack this thing, or this thing's going to be 2 weeks long. And so we bite down on our tongue, and we stay sweet. We just hacked it, but guess what else we did? We just got better at doing that. Because whatever you keep practicing, you get better at. You keep practicing, you get better at. You keep practicing, you get better at. And eventually, what used to be the area that was always the devil's go-to door to get into you or my life, that thing is so barred up and so closed up, and it's not just closed. The door's not just closed. It now has concrete blocks across it. It's got iron bars across it, and the devil doesn't even know where that door is anymore. Because we got so good at not giving him place in that area. What used to be our weakest area, now that's our strongest area. What did we do? We turned it on him. We made it work for what he kept using against us. We made it work for us to where it defeated him. Ha ha ha. That's called hacking it. Are you getting this? I'm having a time. Praise the Lord. So don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange. Tell your neighbor, I'm not going to think it's strange anymore. Praise the Lord. Now, you're going to have to go through some things to get to where God has for you to get. David had to go through Goliath to get to the throne. Didn't he? Jesus had to go through the garden to get into the, well, actually, first of all, it was in the wilderness. He had to go through the wilderness to get into his call down here in this ministry. The ministry he had on the earth, the earthly ministry that he had. And then in the garden, he had to go through that to get through, to stay obedient to get to the cross. Because Satan was tempting him, don't do it, don't do it. I was thinking about that the other day when I didn't know I was going to preach on this, but I was thinking about some things that, remember whenever we went to the Passion of the Christ and how that was portrayed in the garden, how he was sweating that great drops of blood and Satan was tempting him. You remember that? We need to know that's what Jesus went through. He went through the pressure like probably none of us all put together have ever experienced. The pressure to not do it. Don't be faithful. Don't go through with the plan of God. I'm so glad he didn't. You know, give in to that test. I'm so glad, in other words, I'm glad he did stay on God's path for his life and stay obedient because we're all redeemed because he did. Praise the Lord. And what's on the other side of you getting through the other side? What's on the other side? I'll tell you what's on the other side. An enlargement, an increase. You'll be a greater blessing. Hallelujah. And so you're going to have to go through some of those things, but don't take it personal. Here's one thing to be good at getting through tests and trials. Don't take it all personal. Well, what did I do? What did I do? It's not about you. Here's the way I've illustrated it this way. It's like in football. You're playing a game of a tackle football, and, you know, you're not really getting beat up too much until you get the ball. And then when you get the ball, the whole opposing team, it's like, oh, what did I do? I don't know why. I'm a nice guy. It's not about you, honey. It's nothing personal. It's about the ball you're carrying. So when the tests and trials of life come, don't take them personal. That's how you're going to get through it. That's one of the ways you got to do that to hack it right. Otherwise, you're going to have a pity party, and you're going to feel, woe is me, and all that. When you're having a pity party, the devil's working on you. Just know that. The devil's working on you. He's working on you. He's working on you. But it's not personal. It's not about you. Oh, I want you to hear that this morning. It's not about you. It's not that pressure that's coming against you. It's not about you. It's about that ball you're carrying. He wants to strip you of that ball. I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about the truth. I'm talking about the plan of God that you're running that race with. He wants to strip that from you. Amen. Let's make it harder for him to do that. One way is just don't take it all personal. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, the more skillful you become with the Word and stand against these things and not let Satan's devices work on you, the quicker you'll get through them. I'm not saying you'll be able to do it in a minute's time, but I'm just saying the more skillful, it depends on, there's all different kinds of tests and trials. But yet, right on the other hand, I want to be real skillful. How many of you have found in your marriage that the more skillful you get in the love walk, the quicker you get through those times of stress and pressure between the two of you? Isn't that right? Amen. Don't look at me like, I don't go through anything like that. You do. You don't want to admit it. Let me tell you something else about getting some of this stuff out of your life and getting through the test and the trial. One of the greatest, whatever you call it, antibiotics or whatever for these things is just get them out in the sunshine. Get them out in the light of God's word. Don't hide it like, oh, I don't have any tests and trials. I never got to start with my spouse. You lie. You lie. You lie. And we all know it. Praise the Lord. It's not that, see, it's not a shame to say I've gone through something. It's just that we ought to say, okay, I'm going through it. Now help me here, help me here, help me here. I don't want to embarrass Brother Rainier, but he is on the front row, so I'm going to embarrass him. That's one of the things when he came to the church I appreciated about him so much. If I told you the stuff he's into when he comes to the church, you would laugh so hard. But he's just all out front in front of everybody with it, saying, oh, that's not right. Okay, I won't do that no more. It was so refreshing. Rather than, no, I'm already perfect. I've already got it all put together. See, I smile right. I have my tie straight. Everything like that. It's just refreshing. If somebody say, yeah, I'm messed up in this area, man. I need some help. Praise the Lord. Just trying to get my heart out this morning. So I'm going to get this through. I'm going to get this out. Hallelujah. Faith is for winning. Tell your neighbor, faith is for winning. Faith is what keeps you from getting stuck in the test and trial and going on through the thing. Your flesh and your mind don't have the resources or the answers to get through the test and the trial. One of the purposes of Satan bringing tests and trials is to pull you out of the spirit into the flesh or into the natural mind, to hold you in the natural mind like, oh my goodness, oh my, what am I going to do now? Oh, you know, and see, the answer is not up here. The resources to get through the test and trial are in the spirit realm. God in the spirit realm has those resources. He has the answers. The Holy Spirit within you will rise up and give you the answers to overcome and these things arrayed against you and be skillful with them. But Satan wants to separate you from that by holding you in the mental realm. So one of the hacks of getting through tests and trials is spend much time in the spirit. Now, don't misunderstand me. That's not enough. You got to come out and do what you see and know. But see, spending time in the Spirit keeps your perspective right. Because here's what happens. Like, you might think if it's a marriage issue, you might think it's them. But you get in the Spirit, God will show you that some of it's you. Heaven forbid. I like what Brother Andre said to his students at school. I'm going to probably remember this the rest of my life. You know, because they started, you know, don't talk about your Christianity in school and all that. And he got up in front of his class one day. How old are they, that class? High school. Got up in front of his class one day. He said, you better be thankful I pray. You better be thankful I spend time with Jesus every morning. Because if I didn't, I'd just smack you all heavy, real hard. A bunch of brats. Now, I didn't say, I don't know if something like that. Hello? What he's saying is, I get in the presence of God, and I get God's perspective on how to help you. And it's not in the flesh. It's, I've got to walk in the spirit to help you. Otherwise, you'd all be dead, you know, just... There's a lot of murders that haven't happened in America because amen. Because we pray and we get God's perspective on things. Amen. Go to Luke 21. Let's look at that. Look at that in the scriptures. Luke 21. Praise the Lord. We're hacking it. Luke 21, 36. This is talking about the end times. We're living in the end times. I don't know if you've ever read about over in the book of Revelation concerning the end times. It talks about Satan in the end times walking about with great wrath because he knows his time is short. And so there's some things, there's an extra pressure and stuff coming against us in this day that in the early days of the church they didn't have, apparently, because he knows his time, his gig's about up. He's about to get thrown into a pit for 1,000 years. You know what I'm talking about? And he's trying to get it on before he gets thrown into the pit. And so there's a lot in these last days that are going to come against the people of God. That's not something to sit and cry about. We just have to learn how to handle it. Notice what he said here. This is in Luke 21. He said in verse Well, let's just start in verse 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time. That's interesting. Take heed to yourselves. I looked at it one day. I was studying on this, and it came to me this way. Just like I take care of myself physically, you know, hygiene, brush my teeth, floss, you know, wash, things like that. Take heed to yourself spiritually. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many have ever seen somebody that seems to have good hygiene physically, but you get up to them close and spiritually, they are a mean, nasty spirit, you know, just... So he said, take heed to yourself. That's something we all have to do for ourselves. We can't do it for each other. Take heed to yourself. Well, somebody, so-and-so isn't doing it. Well, then you do it. Amen. Take heed to yourself, not your neighbor. Lest at any time your hearts, see, that's what he's talking about, take heed to your spiritual condition, be overcharged. That means burdened down. The Amplified says weighed down or overburdened, depressed, weighed down. Lest your heart be burdened down with surfeiting. That's the Amplified says giddiness and the headache and nausea of self-indulgence. One translation says party spirit. In other words, just living in the flesh. That's what he's talking about, just living in the flesh, whatever our flesh wants. Don't let your heart be burdened down with just living in the flesh and drunkenness and the cares of this life. Isn't that interesting? So your heart can get filled up with the cares of life. So that day come upon you unaware. So he's saying, take heed to what's getting on the inside of you. Take heed that you live right, live in the Spirit, and don't let the cares of life and so forth. Okay, verse 35. As a snare, for, he's talking about the end day coming upon us all. As a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all those things, or all these things that are come. That shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Okay. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape. Other translations say that you may have what it takes to escape. You understand what that means? In other words, you got the spiritual wherewithal, because notice he said you've watched and prayed. In other words, you've spent time in the presence of God taking in what you need to keep you from getting in the flesh. Keep you from getting in the flesh. How many of you know if you don't stay strong spiritually, stay in fellowship with God and regularly hearing from God, it's much easier to yield to the flesh. Much easier to say the wrong thing, which we'll have to repent for later. You've never had to do that, but you know, the person behind you has to. Praise the Lord. So what he's talking about is through spending time in prayer and fellowship with God, or we could say it this way, in the spirit, spending time in the spirit realm, that will take into our spirit the answers that we need for these tests and trials. Isn't that right? We'll gain the spiritual strength we need to stand against them. Isn't that right? And escape, get through these things. How many of you know when you're weak, it takes longer to get through it? But whenever we're strong, we have God's perspective because we've been spending time in His presence. We're getting God's answers on the situation. Like I said, if it's a relationship issue, you might think it's all them. But and listen, sometimes it is. But at least get God's perspective on that. Because there's probably something you did to contribute to it.
Come on.
Well, those amens, hallelujahs. That's, we were talking about marriage, you remember, where we talked about there in Ephesians that talks about husbands, love your wives, and then wives, submit to your husbands, and we always jump on the wrong verse and say, you're supposed to do your verse, whenever it says who he was addressing in each verse is the one that's supposed to take heed to their place. Stay in your verse and stay out of her verse, or his verse. Well, if you do this, I do that. Well, if you do that, I do this. That's just the road to nowhere.
Yeah.
Just do your verse. If there's two people taken, there's nothing to receive. So you do your verse so you have something to give, so they have something to receive. Ouch, I just convicted myself. Hallelujah. So stay in the presence of God and you'll see those things clear. And in the test and trial, when you see reality rather than the way the devil's clouding it, you know, and he's saying, well, this is what it is. This is what it is. It's them. It's them. It's them. No, you get in the presence of God and God reminds you, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. A lot of times it's a little imp between you going, yakety yak, yak, yakety yak, yak, yakety yak, yak. And then you fuss at each other thinking it's, and he's in the spirit realm going, hee 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 hee, with that little hideous laugh.
Yeah.
got you right where he wants you. We're talking about how to get through these things. We don't see, one of the things to do in order to hack the problems of life is you got to hit the mark. Not be throwing barbs at people, but deal with it in the spirit realm. Deal with it in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm helping myself this morning. Every attack also comes with a mental attack, doesn't it? And so there's some things, and I just sense maybe we'll get into this maybe in some future services. We'll take different life, different hacks, how to hack tests and trials, like the mental thing. There's always something mental. There's an attack against your mind. We'll look at that. How about looking at how to count it all joy in the midst of it? Hallelujah. We had that service last Sunday, really. Hallelujah. And so all these components of how to get through tests and trials need to be in place in order to get through them faster. Yes. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to get through these things much faster. Hallelujah. You know, things like strife, that only compounds the problem. Anybody ever notice that? Because where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. Hallelujah. God has put on my heart more recently of some things that he started talking to me about honor. And Pastor Debbie and I have been talking about honoring one another and really learning how to do that better. I want to practice the word in such a way to where things that used to almost destroy our marriage, the devil doesn't even have that door open anymore. Amen. I want to get good. I want to be so good that I'm an illustration for people to say, wow, I see what's available for me. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Don't you want to be an illustration? Don't you want to have a bigger testimony and be used of God to bless others? Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go for it. What do you say? Tell your neighbor, you can stand up with me. Tell your neighbor as you stand, tell them, we're going to hack some of these tests and trials. Yeah, like we hacked in, I guess we did, I don't know. You know, they'll never tell us. But we hacked in, apparently, the Iranian centrifuges, and they wouldn't work, you know, they'd blow up. Amen? Let's hack into what the devil's trying to do in our life. And it doesn't run very well. It's like giving it bad gas. He brings that machine in. I'm going to chew up your life. I'm going to devour your life. And you hack it by pouring in wrong gas. And it's going. The other day, Brother Rainier said he likes my illustrations and my sound effects. So I thought I'd, Hallelujah. I believe we can always triumph in Christ. And do it in grand style. We need to finish Psalm 34. What was that? I forget which verse. 10 maybe? Psalm 34 there, where it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But we need to finish that verse. But the Lord delivers him out of 50% of them.
No, sir.
All of them. All of them. I'm going to get so good, I pass all of them. Praise the Lord. I'm good at hacking. Hack that, hack that, hack this, hack that. Praise the Lord. Give God a shout. You got some answers this morning.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Everly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.